This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Waits at his 50. A fake punt! Anger throws it. Interception dropped at the 40-yard line because the intended receiver,
C.J. Goodwin,
fell down.
That is how we start the Monday edition of Sean and RJ live here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back.
Did you open with that cut because it proved you correct that there was going to be a C.J. Goodwin play in there? Boy, it was not a good play. Nobody said it was going to be good. They just said there was a play.
It looked like one was anticipating a go route and one was anticipating a stop. And here's how you know it was a bad play. Anger, like, didn't even stop for a split second to see if he was open. It was going to be, you catch it, you throw it automatically like a wet football in the rain with no laces. You get it, and it's out of your hand like hot potato. There was no pause. There was no read. It was just throw.
Not even trying to fake out. The kicking, the return team, not even trying to fake them out. Just grab it and throw it. Like, just get it out of the, just get it out. He literally was like doing the, let's just get the ball out as soon as you possibly can. That's what they always tell quarterbacks. Get rid of the ball as fast as you can.
Sure.
And that's exactly what he was doing.
Anger looks at the analytics. He knows this is a quick throw league.
Yeah.
It was like,
and
the,
he now also knows he is 0-for-3 all time throwing the football. It's not like he's like 3-for-3, 2-for-3.
Yeah, this isn't Mohamed Sanu. Like we're dealing with a guy who clearly the what it reminded me of was the like stereotypical little leaguer who just the ball is released and they close their eyes and they swing. Like, have no concept of where the ball's coming or whatever else. That's what it reminded me of watching him, just like, ball's in my hand, throw it. This is where it's supposed to go, and he's supposed to be there. And that was just awful communication from top to bottom.
What was your number one head-shaking moment of the game as the Dallas Cowboys, of course, lose in Atlanta their third straight 27-21 to drop to 3-5? Let's go around the room for your number one. Are you effing kidding me?
Oh, the fourth and one end around.
Forgot about that one.
I think we're going to have three or four different answers.
That's, to me, like, you have a 240-pound unit at quarterback. Put him under center. And sneak it.
Well, you see what happens when he runs, as we got blamed for that as well last week.
What, we got 22 yards? He had the longest rush of the year. That's what happens when he runs.
And you broke him. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, they showed it was like on a different play, I guess, that he hurt
was
the hammy.
The throw. It was, he said it was off a scramble.
Yeah, he said it was off the scramble?
He said it was off a run.
He said it was a run, and then when he threw it to the sideline to Brooks is when he really felt like, uh-oh, that's
not good. Yeah. But that is, you know, fourth and one, you don't get cute there. You know, you don't get, unless you're the Detroit Lions, who have proven that they can get cute over and over and over again, and it works. In that play, get the first down. Don't worry about CD, because all it takes is one person to not do their job, and you're screwed up. On that play, it's fourth and one. Sneak it. They did it like, you know, two series later, they just snuck it.
And the Cowboys have never run that play before either, so it's like it was new on tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end around a CD Lamb. Your number one head shaker. You're just laughing, chuckling to yourself.
Well, so
don't take mine.
I was gonna say I wasn't laughing, so it's not gonna be this one, and I'll rant about it at some point today. The absurdity of having CeeDee Lamb in there late, but the biggest thing to me was the, and I'm probably gonna take it, I would guess here, Diggs not knowing where to line up on the Mooney touchdown.
This is amazing. We're all going to have different answers.
Is just like to where Olsen's like, Diggs doesn't know where to line up. Diggs is clearly, and he was. He was looking around like, wait, where do you want me? Where am I supposed to be?
Olsen was all over it.
And like, it's, you see Cousins like, just like, hey, let's get this play out. They don't know where to be. So let's go. Let's throw the ball. It was preseason first practice together type of mistake.
Pepe, your number one moment where you're like, are you kidding me?
Man, it was almost the Dowdle touchdown. If that wasn't a complete for touchdown because Dak ran to his offensive line. I mean, but really, it's the fake punt. Since I can't use that one, it's the fake punt for me. When I saw that ball go in the air, I knew there was just no chance. And I saw CJ Goodwin fell down. And I was like, here we go again.
None of those are even close to number one for me. Number one for me was the 12 men on the field. Too many men on the field on a fourth and one crucial have to have it. And Dalvin Cook and everyone is just looking at each other, bewildered on the sideline. So look, we managed to go around this room, the number one head shaking moment, and we got four different answers. End around, Diggs lining up, the fake punt, and for me, it was the 12 men that cost you in another crucial situation.
Look, a lot of problems.
A lot of these games, I come in and during the game, I'm more upset and frustrated with the ownership, with the Joneses. Yesterday was about Mike McCarthy. I thought Zach Wilchuk put it well in the post game. That was the biggest indictment for Mike McCarthy yesterday, with the penalties, the sloppiness, the communication, the little things, and the decisions. 0 for 5 bad. And that just settled in that he cannot be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year. I think Jerry Jones knows it. Who knows? Because Jerry is more intent on his stubbornness winning out than logic and common sense. But yesterday for me, Chop, I'm sorry. That was the biggest storyline for me, is Mike McCarthy and not the personnel, not the lack of talent, not the Joneses' mistakes.
I mean, there's a lot of attention to detail that just isn't there. You know, I don't know. Like, do you put 12 men on the field? Is that on the coach? Is that on the players? I have no idea. It all goes up. Everything rolls up. When you have, you know, penalties, procedure penalties, those are, to me, on the coach a lot of times. But the other penalty, the holds and stuff like that, that's on the player. There was a lot of issues yesterday that point to this team has just tuned him out. And that's the issue. They have just tuned him out.
I disagree with that.
Oh, God, they've quit.
RJ, they've been doing this for 3 years. It's the same stuff. I've been ranting and raving about it with the hot noise and stupid football team. They're not just starting to do this. They do this. This has been happening.
They've been 12-5. That's the thing.
What?
They've been a 12-win team for years. Like, you know, so like you're.
They've been 12-win teams, but we always get on them for all the little things being off.
We do, and I think we do that because we follow them closer. I think if you were looking at every team, they're going to do a lot of the same type of penalties. You know, every team has a 12-man on the field penalty almost every game. They have their false starts. They have illegal shifts. I mean, they have everything. You know, but most teams also don't win 12 games. I just think it's clear that this team has quit, and that's an indictment on the coach. You don't. They never quit on Jason. They never quit on Jason. And I think it's clear they have quit on Mike.
Mike McCarthy on the self-inflicted wounds that we saw again yesterday.
Well, I think it's a little bit of, you know, part of the story. I mean, we just had some self-inflicted wounds. I mean, we had, you know, the fake punt was a
little bit
a matchup, John, you know, we felt strong about going into the game, so didn't convert that. But yeah, that's when, you know, got to a two-score lead, so. You know, we have plenty of opportunities after that.
14-10 turned into 21-10 with the Ray Ray McLeod touchdown after the fake punt. Where do you stand on me versus Choppy and this is who they are, this is who they have been, versus this is an extra level of them bailing?
No, I think it's kind of both in terms of it is who they are and who they've been in terms of just stupid penalties. 7 of your 9 are pre-snap. 7 of your 9 penalties are pre-snap penalties. That's something is not clicking with them in an even bigger way than normal. during the practice week. Either they're just, I don't know that it's quit. It didn't look like quit to me. CeeDee Lamb being out there with a shoulder that's clearly messed up. Trayvon Diggs fighting through his calf issue. Like, none of that felt like quit to me, but it felt like a little bit of players during the practice week that clearly are just like, okay. Like, I mean, whatever we're doing here. They're poorly coached. They're unable to weather injuries. They are, it feels like staff and players alike are all in cover your ass mode, and everything is going to absolute hell for them right now. And that is probably the most predictable outcome of the 2024 Cowboys when you consider the way they had set up the year similar to 2019, and 2019 went the same exact way.
Like they didn't quit physically. Quitting is a mental thing. You know, your resolve, your threshold for, oh, this is going to hell, is just much, much lower. And look, all those things that happen during the week, that's where these games are won and lost oftentimes. And you're just getting checked out. I mean, this, like, a lot of the, mentally, I think a lot of these guys have just stopped paying attention. And that's a terrible, terrible thing to have to happen.
Jerry Jones supposedly getting emotional with the team afterwards, and his voice is cracking a little bit. He doesn't do this. He does not talk after road games. He usually saves that for us tomorrow at 8:30 here on the show. But Jerry spoke about what's going wrong after.
We came in here thinking we could win that ball game. That's a team that we could beat. It's obvious mistakes, those kinds of things. Just any team in the NFL can do you in. This is not a good time. I really regret this for all of our Dallas Cowboy fans. We'll tell you this, that I've been around. I've seen Michael Irvin tear up and cry when he couldn't lose anybody because he's just recovering from knee surgery. Yet his ass came back and led a team to 3 Super Bowls. I know you can be there if you're there. That room's full of guys that can get it done. I believe in them, coaches and all.
So, same thing, this time with a little bit of emotion. Why do you think he spoke after this one, Bobby?
I think that there's clearly, that's a signal that things are not right. Because the last time he spoke on the road that I can remember, I might be off on this a little bit, but
ask
I'm pretty
Edward,
sure.
I know he keeps track.
I'm pretty sure the last time he spoke on the road was Green Bay in 22. And that was a disaster game where the coaching staff, because I don't think he did it all last year, and I know he hasn't done it this year. But that was a game where it obviously meant a lot to the coaches returning to Green Bay, and it was a just disaster in terms of blowing a lead and the way it happened and the overtime inability to line up properly. And Jerry felt the need to go out there and talk. So him going out there and needing to talk yesterday, clearly, I think to me says something's gone up a level, whether it means his tolerance has shifted, which I don't think is accurate. I think it's more likely he knew how much hell they were going to catch. It's like, I got to get in front of this one because they're going to catch a ton right here.
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
I think this was just an attempt to keep you hooked, listening and watching. I think that's what that was. I'm going to get emotional. I'm going to get teared up. I'm going to try to win one for the Gipper speech. And then he spoke about the trade deadline tomorrow. And while saying, yes, this is bleak, now all of a sudden, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought this entire time it was, no, we're not going to be doing anything. No. They were very cavalier and blunt about it. And now all of a sudden it's, hey, we got some things in the mix. All right. We could be buyers. We'll probably, we'll probably do a couple things this week. I'm a long way from being dismayed. I think that is all an attempt to keep you watching, following, talking, and tweeting about it. That's my theory.
I mean, you're probably right. The thing is, he doesn't need to do all that. Like, it's football. It's the NFL. Everyone's already hooked. You don't need to sell this league. You don't need to sell it. You don't need
But if you judge his tone, especially with like KMC on Friday, I think our interview combined, I'm being serious. I'm not trying to brag. Yeah, I don't know if it is a brag. I mean, you could say he, gave us a vasectomy live on radio over 100,000 watts, snipped our nuts. That interview combined with how bad the season is, I think it's getting to Jerry. I think it's landed with him that this is much worse from the fan base. I think because he's like, for our fans, and I know I got to take that. If you hear the tone, especially on Fridays with KMC, he's trying to take like a little bit more ownership and sound a little softer versus chest out, in your face, it's my team, this way we're going to do it, and you don't know what you're talking about. I think that has landed with him more over these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think he has a genuine concern about apathy right now.
Yes.
And I think it's that's something that's concerning him, because usually...
And I agree with you, Choppy. It's probably never going to show, at least the rest of right. this season. It's not going to show in the numbers, and the stadium's going to be full, and their ratings will be the highest. But I do think he's more worried about it. Sorry, Bob.
No. But you think, despite what he said, you know those empty bleachers in Oxnard that we kept watching at practice had to have stuck with him a little. And then the fact that things are going sideways and he's still getting hammered with, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? And the fact that he's hearing so much consistent criticism, I think that he does have a sense that maybe there is a little bit of apathy here. And we talked about their games being rated the highest. I don't know that they are. I think we've actually, early in the season, I saw some, I'm going to have to look for it during the break. I think the Chiefs games have been the highest rated this year.
Record your Cowboy thoughts on the Odyssey app. Phone calls and texts at 640. But next, it's time for your Cowboy report card. Star up, star down. Brought to you by Crown Royal. Next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
First down and goal at the 9.5. Empty gun for Cousins. Looking left, throwing a fade to the left side of the end zone. London up and a nice grab. Touchdown, Atlanta.
So I thought that was like basically a perfectly executed play. I'm not going to kill Trayvon Diggs for the coverage in that, but I'm still going star down to Trayvon Diggs. I do give him props. I know that's where Bobby is going. Jerry spilled the beans on Friday on KMC saying that Diggs was practicing with or not practicing with a pretty significant injury. He did gut it out. He did go out there, but it did not work out well for him. Back shoulder touchdown makes it 7-3. And then Diggs totally getting lost with the wheel route that allowed the Falcons to score another touchdown. So he was out there. He didn't look like he was limping around or hurting as much as CeeDee Lamb. So I have to go star down Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, he didn't play well. And there's no injury that prevents you from knowing where you're supposed to line up. So that's still something that he's got to take. I would say that it's an up and a down for me. Down because he played poorly, but again, he's limited because of injury. I am giving him star up for the dude gutted it out. He went out there, fought through something that was clearly limiting him and wanted to be out there and with the team, especially after Owuwariye hit IR and they've had their issues getting Bland back on the field. All of that, I think, is worthy of praise for Trayvon Diggs. So not a great performance, but I do think that he showed a lot of toughness yesterday.
I mean, he did, but like that play is just inexcusable. Off a timeout, to not know where you're supposed to be, to not have any idea what's going on.
That made it 14-3, 36-yarder for Mooney.
I mean, Mooney will not have an easier touchdown all year.
Easy Mooney.
And London Easy didn't Mooney. Even come back to play. Could have been worse for the Cowboys defense.
Yeah, London right? didn't come back to play. Pitts got targeted once, twice in this game, like nothing. But, yeah, I mean, Diggs did play again, to his credit. He played 100% of the snaps. He was out there for every play.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Pitts. That is one of my star ups. That is how they handle Kyle Pitts, which is tremendously. Because he had been fantastic over the last four or five games. He had a goose egg five games ago, but the prior four, I mean, he was in the 70s and 80s and 90s in yards for those games. I mean, he had been much, much better. The defense did a great job on him this week. That was huge. If you were to tell me they were going to hold him to one catch in like 11 yards, I'm like, they win this game easy. But they didn't even need it. They didn't even need it. So that was one of my star ups, is the Kyle Pitts and how they handled him this week.
Big star up to me, motivating Jake Ferguson to take his game up a level. I think that was clearly, he heard the criticism. He responded in the right way. Jake, that's what I like to see. I clearly do more to motivate this football team than the biggest star down and the obvious star down and the star down that trumps all the others, and that's Mike McCarthy, who absolutely failed in every single way in this game, from preparation to in-game management, the fact that you had no timeouts available to you at the end of the first half, all the procedural penalties, pre-snap penalties, the confusion, the bad communication. It all has to fall on Mike McCarthy.
Why did they stop going up tempo?
That I didn't care for. The first drive, they had gotten 54 yards on three plays.
Holy mackerel.
Pass. And then they said, we got to throw a run in here. I didn't understand the run.
So I think, obviously,
I don't care about the run. Why did you stop the up-tempo?
Yeah, obviously.
You got 27 yards on the first play to Ferguson. Rico with a 12-yard catch. Ferguson with 14. 3-0. You fail again in the red zone, but you had 7 for 59 in 3.5 minutes. Dak was 5 for 5 for 57 yards.
Who's burned out, man?
You know what? That very well, honestly, may be part of it. There may have been some sort of fatigue issue they were trying to manage. I know there were some really bad takes, I'd say, that talked about pre-snap penalties maybe being part of the reason why you had to slow down your tempo. The vast majority of those pre-snap penalties occurred when they were out of tempo.
Yeah.
And were things that were occurring in the second half. It was just, I think they probably felt like they had to measure it a little bit and that they found their rhythm and then they thought they could settle into their offense, and that clearly wasn't the case.
That's an inexcusable explanation for me. Ridiculous. You do whatever you can to get your $60 million guy going. And it was fun. It was effective. It was efficient. It was rolling. It was 7-3 after one. So it's not like your defense was totally gassed and Atlanta was up on you two scores. And you're like, all right, now we have to slow things down or this is going to get out of control. It was 3-0, and then it was 7-3. And then it eventually, after they quit the no huddle up tempo, got to 14-3 after the Mooney wheel route. I did not understand that whatsoever. But I will, I'll add on here to star down with the Dallas Cowboys, their brains. Their collective brains combined with Mike McCarthy and the coaching. Tyler Smith, false start, first and goal. They always, always false start on first and goal and move themselves back to 7 yards. Tyler Guyton, I'm sorry. Do we have a Wonderlic on him to go back? This poor guy. He is, and he looks totally lost. When a flag is thrown, it's probably going to be on Tyler Guyton. What the heck is going on with this guy and the penalties? You talked about the wasted timeouts for McCarthy. Communication, the details. Dan Orlovsky went viral after the game because on the Cowboys' third play of the game. Wait, it was the second third down of the game, excuse me. The second third down of the game. The Cowboys had 10 on the field. 10. So Dalvin Cook made it 12 for the too many men. But then early on in the game, there's 10 men. So they have too many, and then they don't have enough. Jerry Jones afterwards on what he makes of all the pre-snap issues.
Well, I attribute the loss to that. That'll take their air out of you. It's too close for that in the NFL between the teams. It's just too close. And you can't do it a lot.
He has to know that Mike is no longer the guy. He's just going to wait it out till after the season, I think. I think these close losses, too, they end up being close, which we'll get to later on. That can help Jerry keep Mike around. But that was bad yesterday. That was a bad, bad thing to put on Mike McCarthy's resume. 7 of the 9 penalties were pre-snap. Holy cow. If you close your eyes and someone tells you that something stupid is going to happen in a football game from a communication standpoint, someone is going to get out-schemed, there's going to be a trick play that makes the other side look bad, you always know to fill in the blank that the Dallas Cowboys will be on the wrong end of it. Always. That's coaching. That's coaching to me. Go ahead, Chop. Star up, star down. Brought to you by Crown Royal.
Let me ask you this, because, Guyton, you mentioned Guyton there, which, by the way, I hate that they don't do the Wonderlics anymore. They need to bring them back.
Did they officially get rid of them?
AI said they stopped in 2022. I don't know.
Hey, that's a hard test. I can't answer any of those questions.
Was it not a red flag to begin with that he was old and raw?
I mean, he's not old.
For to be raw, he's old.
But because he switched positions, he was a defensive lineman.
So, there are no red flags
when we're talking about Dallas Cowboys first-round offensive linemen.
That's true.
We give them the benefit of the doubt.
We give them the benefit of the doubt. We do.
And Guyton may still end up being good, but
he might.
If there's, close your eyes, there's an offensive lineman penalty, who is it? It's Guyton. Mm-hmm. Someone probably misses a block or is late on a stunt. Who is it? It's Zach Martin. I mean, that's just the truth.
And there's my star down. This poor guy. Like, it's time, as Twitter's, he was trending. When a guard is trending after the first series, that's a bad thing. That's a bad sign. And the amount of people that had the post that say, Zach, it's time to go be with your family. It's time to go be with your family. It's time to hang it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's penalties. It's just awful communication. There's so much about it that's just... It didn't feel like other games we've watched before where it's like, man, this guy sucked. It felt so much like y'all just aren't good.
It's like you also said, one person. It's always one person.
Like this team, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what play it is. There's always one person not doing their job. And in Zach's case, it might just be physical limitations and age. It's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. He's just not the same guy anymore. We just got to have to accept that. But, you know, it's always something. It's always one person failing to have their assignment, or like Diggs not knowing what to do, or failing to pick up a block, or because like how many of these plays that end around that they did on 4th-and-1? I mean, that play worked two series later. We know it can work. It just didn't work because somebody didn't do their job.
My favorite tweet I woke up to this morning from somebody was from somebody named Alex, and I think they summarized it perfectly. They said, "This isn't the worst Cowboys team I've ever watched, but by God, is it my least favorite?" And that's the thing is that it's not a good football team at all, but it's not as bad as 2020. They're not that bad yet. I mean, they could get there. It's not as bad as some of the 5-11 teams, but it just feels like what's left? Like what is left for you guys? You were supposed to be right here on the edge, ready to break through, and your last three losses have come to NFC contenders, and you've gotten your ass kicked every single time. It is a sobering reality, and I think that's what it is for Jerry. It's a sobering reality of three straight weeks you were reminded you are not here. You're not here and you're not close, and it's not one thing that's going to get you here. And it's probably several things and several coaching moves and several personnel moves. That's all stacking up for you right now.
What happened with Zeke? What's going to happen with Zeke? And how long are Dak and CeeDee Lamb going to be out? That's next on a Cowboys Monday. Hey, a lot of Tolos say the only thing they have left in this football season is the calamity of our Monday radio shows, how toxic it is, and Jerry Jones on Tuesdays to hear how uncomfortable that is. So, misery loves company. Continue to join a 6 a.m. club right here on 105.3 The Fan.
False start.
Wow.
This team cannot stay out of its own way.
False start. Offense number 73. That's a 5-yard penalty.
Tyler Smith, if you see the Cowboys walking down the street, hope they're wearing loafers, because if they're wearing lace-up shoes, they're going to trip over the shoeless.
Yikes.
Fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. Brad Sham, not very happy. In case you did not know and you're just waking up, we are your home for all things Dallas Cowboys football, for better or right now a lot worse. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Star up, star down. Your Cowboys report card throughout the entire morning. Now let's get to the other crap. And that would be Zeke Elliott before the game and Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb during the game. Dak hurts the hamstring and he says it's something I have not felt before. That does not sound too promising for him playing against the Eagles and maybe even after that.
Yeah, I mean, got to get it looked at. Felt it, I guess, the third play that I was in there on the little scramble to the left. Felt it, didn't think much of it, to be honest with you. And then the next play, throwing that the stop route to the field, pulled something. I guess you got felt something I've never felt. Tough to walk on it at that point. Saw the medical team and asked, could I make it worse? At that point, they said I wouldn't be able to protect myself, and they made the call to hold me out.
We all thought he was dealing with a hand.
I mean, that's what the camera showed. It showed a very,
Swollen and bloody.
That hand looked like Zach Wolchuk's from your party. All right, that thing was swollen and bloody, and it looked exactly like that because the previous play was that the one where the ball was tipped by the lineman on the pass to Ferguson. Looked like it was, I think it was to Ferguson. That everybody said that was a that play was going to work.
Yeah. Right?
They were like that play is going to work, man. And it just obviously it did. So I thought, okay, did he hit his hand on a helmet there? I didn't see anything happen like that. But, I mean, you get a hamstring, your legs, you get an Achilles, you get a calf, a hamstring. I mean, that's for a quarterback. You gotta throw your legs, obviously.
Jerry said he was concerned. Dr. Choppy, how many weeks? What's the initial prognosis, Doogie?
Well, Jordan Love, I mean, he seems to be playing, and he has injuries, but he also did miss time earlier in this year. So what?
With a hammy?
Week one, right? It was a knee. I would say 2 weeks. But I don't know. He's tough, man. I don't know if he's going
to
miss any time.
I don't think it has to do with toughness. You watch him leaving the field. Like, no way he plays against Philadelphia, I would think.
I wouldn't think so. So the National Institutes of Health did research on hamstring injuries in professional football players, and they found that the average number of days lost per hamstring injury was 12.9 days. So that's 2 weeks. Study found that players missed an average of 2.6 games after acute strain of the hamstring. So, yeah, I would guess you've got...
That'd be Philly and Houston in Arlington.
Yep, and then the Houston one is... That's Monday night, isn't it? So, I mean, you get an extra day, I guess, of prep and to come back from that.
I'm going to tell you what the spread is, and I want you to tell me whether Vegas has factored in Dak playing or not. What would the spread have to be, you think... With Rush, for them to factor it in, what would your guess be?
Cooper's about a 4-point downgrade from Dak. So I would think
7 or
home.
8.
No, I would think probably 4, right? It's probably a pick 'em at home.
Maybe. Oh, Philly would be favored in Arlington, I think, barely.
Yeah, so maybe 1 point. Let's say 5.
It's 6.5.
They would factor that in. That's Cooper.
That's them saying
that's Cooper.
Cooper Rush is playing.
Yeah.
6.5 points.
Well, there we go. I mean, look, the reality is what I don't want to see happen from this is I don't want to see excuses get built in naturally for people who have a lot of pressure on them. Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones. And I don't want to hear that.
I know.
Well, we had this happen. And the reality is they have had a lot of injuries. No doubt about it.
Yes.
But they also allowed all their depth to be decimated and put themselves in a position where this kind of thing would happen. Now, what I would prefer is I would prefer it not be Cooper at this point because I think you want to see Lance, but...
Topic for later.
I know. I'm just saying to tease it ahead, but in general, I think that, yeah, there's very little likelihood that Dak plays in this game.
So over at BetMGM, they haven't updated it yet, so it's 2.5 Philly. And there's your Cooper Rush to get it to 6 because it opened at Cowboys 1.5. When at the start of the year, right? When all the lines come out. So the Cows have been downgraded 3 points anyway, across the board. Across the board, they've been downgraded by 3 points. And then Philadelphia, you got to figure out whether they've been upgraded or downgraded or stayed the same throughout the course of the year. Then you add the Cooper thing in there, you get your 6.
What about CeeDee Lamb? You guys, along with a lot of the internet, not happy that he was still out there. It reminded me of Emmitt Smith against the Giants. He was holding that thing like it was separated. That's what I was waiting to hear. And he eventually goes back in, then they pull him back out. CeeDee Lamb and the shoulder.
The first time they pulled him out, that was the moment I was like, okay, you know what? I don't want to see him again. Like, he played at this point. I had no problem with him being in there until that point. And then it was like, okay, it's obvious. Get him out of there. You're down by 14. There's no point, right? They get the ball back, and they put him back in. And it's like... All right.
I'll tell you why I wasn't going crazy about it.
Because Cooper actually gave him a chance?
No. Luka. I was saying to myself, is CeeDee... I don't know. Look, I give him props. He's clearly writhing in pain. The biggest tell was when he was in the end zone and the receiver or the corner barely went by him, nicked
him.
And he was in pain. But I was like, they know whether it's separated or not right now. Is he just like... Oh my gosh, I'm going to gut this out. I'm going to be Michael Jordan. I'm going to be Luka Doncic here. The Cowboys know CeeDee Lamb, threshold for pain, toughness, and all that stuff. And I am very critical of Mike McCarthy leaving guys in too long. I think that is a humongous fault of his. in this instance, I didn't want him to like stay out there too long, but I felt like Bobby, they probably had a handle on whether it was a serious injury and he was still fine to quote unquote gut it out, and whether CD maybe was doing a little, maybe a little Luka heroics. I don't know. That was not what I was thinking.
No, I think
the fact that he went back out there told me that this is not like a serious thing, I don't think, to keep him out 2 or 3 weeks.
No, he can't.
I would guess he plays against Philly.
I don't believe he could make it worse. I don't think, because they clearly, Dak asked the trainers, can I make it worse? And they said, you can't protect yourself, and they wouldn't put him back out there. To me, though, there's still getting the hell out of the game. He's in a ton of pain. Don't do this. And all accounts from people I was talking to yesterday, there was no showmanship there. He's really good about not letting on about when he's in pain.
Yeah.
And not letting on, because he's been, I mean, think about it. We always think about, like, he's never really banged up. He's never really hurt. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's hurt at some point. So the fact that we've never had that sense is a testament to he guts through stuff and he doesn't lead on about it.
Yeah.
And so for him to be in as much pain as he was and landing on that shoulder multiple times after he was already in pain, it was just like, this is painful for me to watch. Mm. Get him off field. You're not winning this game. This feels a little bit like torture porn almost. Get him out. Like, I don't want to see it.
Is that what you're into?
No, that's a phrase.
I know it's a phrase.
But it's like in general.
It's also a category, Bobby. Okay.
Snuff then, whatever. Yes, you want to call it.
Again,
whatever
it's
you
want to
call it. Whatever you want to call it. The whole point is it was
a category.
It felt
it's a tab.
You know what it felt like?
It's on the pull down.
Sorry if it comes off.
it's on there.
Sorry if it comes off harsh. What that felt like was the most important thing was not the pain threshold or whatever else your player. The most important thing at that point was like, well, I've got a job to save.
Dang. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franco & Franco injury attorney text line. Do we think Lamb plays against Philly?
50-50.
Okay. 50-50. All right, what happened with Zeke? Jane Slater got the details, but the story came out that he was not making the trip to Atlanta. Zeke, a healthy scratch, first of his career. Slater with the report. He has been distracted this season. Aside from habitual tardiness, he has missed 3 team meetings, with Friday's meeting the final straw. Both parties decided it was best he didn't make the trip. Dalvin and Rico will be expected to carry the... By the way, star up for Rico Dowdle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On my star ups.
Played well.
What happened here, Bob? What else can you tell us, and what do we make of it?
So, there's... Oh,
that was a mischievous smile.
Because, I mean, there's clearly, just by the way the Cowboys are handling this, there's a certain amount they're willing to talk about and a certain amount they're not. And
a lot of Tolos are asking, does that mean we win the money from Zeke's dad now?
Yeah,
maybe. I know.
Could be.
I mean, it sounds like maybe other factors are causing him not to play that way. It's not about his ability at all. I think that there's a lot of muddy details here about clearly something happened this week that escalated whatever tardiness or smaller issues they felt like. Something happened Thursday, Friday that made it much worse. I don't think it's a coincidence that Zeke was being put up in front of the media as one of the go-to let's talk to him guys by the team for several weeks, and then you got into the regular season. It was pretty quick where Zeke wasn't being put up there anymore to talk to the media as one of the scheduled individuals. I don't think that was an accident. I think that was a pretty clear decision that they made there. I think that he's frustrated with his role. I think that there's other things going on that the team feels he needs to deal with right now. And those things combined and his frustration level, I think it came to a head a little bit, and you got some friction between Zeke and people at the top of the team, and it ended in what is essentially a suspension.
I think this happens in, not this exactly, but there comes a point in a lot of athletes' career where the realization hits that they don't really matter anymore to the course of their team, and they essentially quiet quit. And that, you know, if you're skipping meetings and you're just being late because you... Like, if you're in every play, if you're the number one guy, you're at the meetings because it matters that you're at the meetings. And when you know that you're not going to play or you're not going to get the touches that you want, it doesn't really matter to you if you're on time or you're there, because you're not a part of them anyway. And Zeke, essentially, from what I took from that tweet from Slater, quiet quit. He quiet quit. And You just can't have that. Like, you're supposed to be one of the leaders of the team. Like, if he wasn't brought in here for leadership, what was it? Because it sure as hell wasn't for 2.7 yards a carry.
Jerry Jones commented on this on our pregame show with the great Christy Scales.
You got to love somebody that practices as hard as he practices. He's inspirational and always has been. I've still got pictures of Zeke running up and down in the dressing room before the game. Didn't have his pads on, let's put it like that. But motivating and getting his horse going.
Oh, God.
Motivated, getting his horse going without pants, Christy. What did Christy do in there? Where'd she go? What was that little drop from Christy? Oh, Lord. I felt like I heard that. Let me hear that again, Pepe. Not the whole thing.
Didn't have his pads on, let's put it like that. But motivating and getting his horse going.
So, look, the first thing I thought of is, like, we have a humongous communication issue here. Like, the initial pitch sounds like it either wasn't delivered correctly or got lost along the way. I thought we were on the same page of, yo, man, you're being brought in here to be a mentor. Mentor, goal line carries, 4th-and-1. Well, Zeke probably looks at it like, okay, the plan was for Rico to, like, take the reins here. He didn't take the reins. He's not that much better than me. He's not better than me. I should now be the starter. So it feels like the plan got lost.
Do you think this is why?
Lost in translation.
Do you think this is why we kept having to ask, why isn't Dalvin Cook active?
Maybe.
To protect Zeke?
To keep Zeke active. I don't know. But you got Zeke going
there's
behind
clearly
it.
Frustration levels about his role.
Mm-hmm.
And so he probably voiced those pretty loudly to them.
All right, let's see how many. Usually we do calls at 6:40, but we haven't even talked about Dak's video. Dak saying we effing suck. Bobby thinks it could be something else. Let's take calls and texts if you want. We got a couple Odyssey app messages to unleash on the boys as well. 877-881-1053 after this.
But I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but it is November, and that means the holiday season has completely snuck up on us. What happened to June? It was just here. You go to Diamonds Direct, and you get the best price for the jewelry that's been on her wish list for a long, long time. You step into Diamonds Direct, there's energy, the welcome's warm, your favorite drink is ready to go, everyone's having fun, there's not this hush-hush normal jewelry store. The more selection, more incredible value, and more chance at the shop are along the most wonderful time of the year at Diamonds Direct.
And they're not just about the sales. They dive into your story, what you're celebrating, and work their magic to find something amazing that will not break the bank. And trust us, they got the perks. Amanda loves this. Free cleanings, maintenance, and even birthday and anniversary surprises all on the house. So go ahead and go in there for the perfect proposal, idea, or the perfect holiday gift. Tell them Sean and RJ sent you and get ready to experience jewelry shopping done right for the best quality, price, and shopping experience. There's no better choice than Diamonds Direct.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.